This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
So learning more about Joe Musgrove's injury here this morning. Welcome back. It's Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan. And apparently, and this is new in Kevin Acey's newsletter this morning, and I heard a little bit of it last night. Joe apparently the last couple of weeks has not been feeling great when it comes to his arm and his elbow. Been fighting through it. I mean, looking really good and sharp on the mound, but he has definitely been feeling not his best. And he said in particular this last week has been a struggle for him leading up into this game, but he wasn't going to miss his start. He was going to get out there and give it his all and actually looked pretty good. Gave up the quick run. But after that, you know, he struck out four guys, yeah, struck out down. Two in the third, yep. Struck out one in the fourth. Velocity was looking good. Breaking ball was looking sharp. There really wasn't a ton of concern until all of a sudden, and Kyle Higashioka noticed it right away.
That was something, man.
His velocity on his curveball, which is usually in the low 80s, mid-70s. And a good catcher sees those things right away. Joe wasn't about to show any weakness. He was going to fight through it. But Kyle goes, something's wrong. And just put a stop to it. And you saw, you walked right out to the mound. And
it's my catcher.
Then Ruben too. Came out, and then Mike Schilt and Ben Frazier, the trainer, came out. Was not that long of a discussion. You know, tapped him, and that was it for Joe Musgrove. And he came out, and obviously they reported later in the game elbow tightness. What does that mean? Well, we'll find out. He's going to get imaging today. But one person who remained fairly optimistic about the whole thing was Joe himself, and he talked with our Tony Gwynn Jr. in the celebratory clubhouse after the game on what happened and what he thinks might happen next.
I'm here with Joe Musgrove, and Joe, obviously there's a million people out here hoping that you're all right. Just tell us how you're feeling right now.
Yeah, I feel a lot better now. I mean, physically I felt better. I do feel like I got out of there in time to, you know, hopefully able to patch this thing up and get back out there before postseason's over. So
I told Kyle Higashioka I thought he might have had the best catch, not allowing you to throw that next pitch as he ran out. Because it certainly looked like you were about to throw another pitch, despite feeling how you were feeling. What is it like to have a teammate be able to know you just from your body language?
Yeah, I was out there kind of hoping he would notice and come get me, you know. I really wanted to finish that inning and get out of there clean and be able to, you know, come out during the game. I got to wear this one. I think honestly it was the best thing that he came out and got me. I feel like I was a few throws away from putting myself out. So, you know, I would have loved to stay out there, but I feel like it's probably the best move for me and the team. I don't know how good my stuff would have been carrying on.
Your bullpen came in, held it down for you despite your injury. What has it meant to have guys really do that all season long, whether it's for you or anybody else out there?
That's what we talk about, the confidence in this team. It's like everyone's got their own version of confidence, but it's really the confidence in one another and the group. Like, I felt completely confident leaving that game and knowing the bullpen had picked me up. You know, obviously I hate to put Hoeing in that spot and put the innings on the bullpen, but with a lead like that and a chance to clinch today, we felt pretty good about our odds.
I'm not going to hold you too long, man. Go enjoy yourself, get patched up, and hopefully we see you in L.A.
Sure. Appreciate you, bro.
All right, so some optimism from Joe, who says he thinks that, you know, he can get some treatment, turn it around, and come back and pitch again this postseason. What does that mean? I would say it's highly unlikely we'll see him against the Dodgers, or he'll even be on the roster against the Dodgers. Best case scenario, gets a week of treatment, throws a bullpen, feels decent, and goes, I can go in a league championship series if the Padres advance. Would you say that's probably how you're feeling as well, Woods?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. And you know, this is the where you look at it and you go, okay. I mean, yeah, it's a huge, huge loss. If in fact it is a loss for Joe Musgrove, and you know, I don't ever want to count anybody out. You know, especially in October. And if Joe feels like he can go and help, but I did have this just kind of random thought of like, okay, well, you was in the bullpen, and maybe now Joe, if he does get it quote unquote patched up, maybe Joe works out of the bullpen if you need him, you know, something like that. But I think I agree with this series, probably no reason to try to rush him back at all. And you kind of hope you get through this series and worry about the next one, Ben, because, you know, at the end of the day, I think you can win. I think you can win without Joe Musgrove. They did it for a lot of the season. So Yu Darvish now slides into that, which is the luxury of having depth. Martin Perez, if you need him on the roster for some innings, he's pitched in a World Series. Sean Reynolds is a guy, a big power arm that you may want to add. You know, so there's options, man. It's a deep team.
Obviously, this can change very quickly with the results of the imaging, which will probably, if we don't know today, tomorrow. Maybe tomorrow at the you know, the manager will do a news conference tomorrow at Dodger Stadium during their workout day for the NLDS. And my guess is we'll find out a little bit more about Joe's condition there. You know that if there's any chance that Joe can come back, he's going to do sure. whatever he can to try to pitch and help the San Diego Padres going forward. I agree with you. I think one of the topics we're going to have on the roundtable and probably tomorrow as well is how the Padres should handle their revised starting pitching rotation going forward, minus Joe Musgrove. And there are different options. You mentioned, of course, Martin Perez would be very easy to just plug him in into the starting rotation. But
you don't need him.
There are other choices as well. You know, you have a very deep, talented bullpen. We've already seen the Detroit Tigers went with a bullpen game yesterday to clinch game two.
Correct.
They went right to a bullpen game. This is not uncommon in the playoffs anymore. If your best pitchers are your bullpen, can you piece together a good nine-inning plan that involves some hoeing, some Morejon, you know, and, you know, the guys that you feel like can stretch you out to full nine innings and just one guy hands the ball to the next guy? Is that maybe the better strategy? Is there any room for a Randy Vasquez conversation? Looked really good in his last start as well against the Arizona Diamondbacks. I think they're probably having these discussions. We will as well. You can tune in to our roundtable today at 10 a.m., a commercial-free Padres roundtable. We'll be there. Annie and Elston. Chris Ello is back today as well. It's presented by San Diego Roundtable Pizza for takeout or delivery. Go to roundtablepizza.com. Roundtable, it's pizza. Royalty. We need a contestant. We're still going to play a Throwback Thursday game of Real or Fake. If you want to try to call in, win a prize, 833-288-0973. You can dial us up now, 833-288-0973. I think emotionally, Joe is so important to this team that he can still impact the playoffs. Even if he doesn't throw another pitch, Joe's still a critical member of this team and will be providing leadership. He's not going anywhere, Woods. He will be with them no matter what he has to do. You know, he had the bone spurs. He said specifically, this was something different. It felt different than the bone spur pain. Pain in his elbow, tightness, it's all a bad thing for a pitcher. It's very concerning, and I'm not going to downplay it. I won't be a gloom and doomer and say it's over for Joe, but it's the worst kind of news that you don't want to get if you're a pitcher.
It's not something, we talked about it, I think, off air. It took the wind out of the sails last night at Petco Park. You know, it totally did for many, many, many innings.
Now, you and I were there, and we were watching on TV, but I got the feeling that everybody was feeling the same way as we were. It happened out of nowhere, right?
Yeah.
Like, you kind of just, like, if you looked away for a second,
which I did,
all of a sudden, like, the trainer's out there
was
showing, and you're like, Whoa.
Originally,
what happened?
Yeah, originally people thought it might be lower half, like a hip flexor or something. The thing that I was really worried about was oblique. You know, if you strained your oblique, you're
phone
done.
Phone starts blowing
now,
up. Everybody's like, what the heck is going on?
Elbow's no better for a pitcher. You know, it's no
maybe
better.
Worse.
Maybe worse. And so, but no, I mean, look, again, if you doubt the ability of this team to sustain or win without Joe Musgrove, then you haven't been watching this year, because Joe Musgrove was hurt for a lot of the year, and this team figured out a way to do it. And in the playoffs, you're going to have to be creative anyway. And, you know, sometimes even when guys are healthy in the playoffs, they go out and they lay turds, and you have to get creative then. So,
I mean, the Braves got creative the last couple of days.
And their bullpen, you know, was pretty good.
Their starting pitchers went a total of three and two-thirds innings in two games, and their bullpen was great.
It was fantastic.
They probably wished they had just gone with two bullpen games. They might still be playing right now if they had done that and not used any of their starting pitchers. So I agree with you, Woods. There's a lot of paths to victory, actually more than in the regular season because of the extra off days. Two off days now, off day on Monday, off day on Thursday if you need to go to a game five, or maybe even three off days before the start of an NLCS next Sunday. So there are different options and plans out there. We will talk about those coming up on the program. Right now, though, let's get to a Throwback Thursday edition of Real.
Some are here for the compelling sports talk with Ben and Woods. You can go plow through another donut. It's time for Real or Fake on 97.3 The Fan. Tell the people what they'll win today.
Paulie, what do we got? We got the Aztecs tickets, right, for Real or Fake winner today. All right, if you beat or get four out of seven right on Real or Fake today, you don't even need to beat Woods. We'll hook you up. The Aztecs taking on Hawaii this Saturday at Snapdragon Stadium. It's the Mountain West Conference opener. Big game, obviously. They want to turn things around after their 1-3 start. That's the prize, and our contestant is Alex. Hello, Alex. How are you?
Good morning. I'm feeling great after that Padres win.
We're all feeling pretty good, a little tired, but absolutely the spirits are high today. All right, here's your category. Now that baseball season is over, let's see how closely you and Woods were paying attention. I will name a major league hitter. You tell me if they hit at least 30 home runs this season. Real or hit less than 30 home runs this season. Fake. Simple enough, right?
Sounds good.
Yeah. Woods follows a lot of baseball, so I think he's going to be helpful here. So, Alex, you ready to play?
I'm ready to play.
All right, Thank you. Round one, real or fake, 30 home run hitters in 2024. Mark Vientos of the New York Mets, real or fake, Alex?
Fake.
Fake. No help from Woods at all. Correct.
27.
Came close. Didn't get there. All right, that's an easy one for you. All right, round number two. Let's try Josh Naylor of the Cleveland Guardians.
Real or fake, Alex?
Real.
Yeah, you agree? You're right. 31 home runs for Josh Naylor, the former Padre. All right, we are cooking today. Let's go round number three. Jake Berger. Real or fake? Jake Berger.
Fake. I'm going to go fake.
29. My goodness, we are playing a good game here today.
Why don't you just sit back and relax?
I'm going to. That's exactly what I'm doing.
All right, let's go round number four. Vladimir Guerrero Jr., real or fake?
Real.
Oh, my God. Wow. What a beast. I shook my head.
Yeah, you didn't think so. I went double reverse psychology going, oh, obviously Vlad did it. Wait, why did Ben include it? Because he didn't get it. He got exactly 30 this year. You want to go all the way for the 7-for-7 here, Alex? Let's see if you can keep going. How about Gunnar Henderson, right, Alex? Real or fake?
Real.
Yep.
Jesus.
Rafael Devers.
Real.
I'm going to go real.
Fake.
Oh, we got you. 28. And
that's my fault.
Tyler O'Neill.
Real.
Fake.
Real. Woods, you got that one. That doesn't matter. You win. Congratulations, Alex.
All right. Thanks, buddy. Good job.
Hang on the line. Paulie will get your information, hook you up with the prize today.
I thought you were going to throw Manny in there.
Manny got 29. 29. I thought about throwing Manny in there. I figured.
Oh, you know it killed him.
I'm not going to rub it in his face. He wanted 30.
Of course
he
did.
You know he wanted 30.
30 and 100.
It doesn't. 29 is really good, too.
Especially after the start he had.
We like round numbers, but they're really not that big of a difference from 29 to 30 or 31, whatever. 30 home run hitter.
It just feels a little bit better. You want that round number.
All right. When we come back, Don't Do This is going to focus our first look ahead at the Los Angeles Dodgers series. And I am I'm going to make a prediction that has actually already come true, which is the best and easiest kind of prediction to make. We'll do that next on Don't Do This after a check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Don't do this.
I got a little surprise for you, you know what I'm saying?
Don't do this.
Listen, if I've said something bad, I mean, tell me I'm a bad boy, you know, just tell me I'm a bad boy.
Why? Just why?
I get the argument. You don't have to explain it to me. I'm not a moron.
Let me tell you why I am a dumbass.
It's time for Don't Do This.
Don't do this.
On 97.3 The Fan.
All right, the easiest predictions are the ones that have already come true. But I promise, I actually told this to Paulie the other day. I will share it with you. First, this segment of Ben and Woods, Don't Do This Today, brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. Buffalo Wild Wings is football, and B-Dubs is kicking off football season with two limited-time sauces. Try their new Buffalo Bacon Sauce for bold notes of smoky bacon. Or get the fan favorite hot barbecue before it's gone. Try them at your local B-Dubs or order now for takeout and delivery with Buffalo Wild Wings. Go! So I think it was right after the show on Tuesday, and I told Paulie, you were still waiting, you hadn't come into our production studio yet, and I said, I'm going to wait until this series is over, but assuming the Padres win, I give you one promise and prediction. I said, mark my words, the Dodgers are going to try to paint themselves as the underdogs in the NLDS, that they're the team that no one is giving a chance to.
Oh my God.
That they are the team that, you know, oh, no one believed in us.
They do it every year.
And it's going to be ridiculous, as it always is. But in particular this season, after they have spent $1 billion and added Shohei Ohtani and Teoscar Hernandez. I get it. They've had some pitching injuries. We're not going to.
Who hasn't?
We're not going to. I mean, Padres just had one yesterday. Every team deals with pitching injuries. It's part of baseball. You know it's part of the season going through. So I thought we'd have to wait until like Friday to hear these comments, though.
No.
And apparently, my prediction has already come true. Woods?
I mean, look, James in the chat is already saying with the injuries, they are the underdogs. They're not. They just not. Let me clarify.
They won more games than anybody in baseball.
They have the best record in Major League Baseball. Okay?
They have the best player in Major League Baseball.
They have the best player in Major League Baseball.
They have three MVPs at the top of their lineup.
They've won 11 out of 12 division titles.
They are the World Series favorites.
They are the odds-on favorites to win the World Series.
If you want to argue that they're not quite as big of favorites as maybe they've been in other years, whatever. But they're the favorites.
You're going to put me in a straitjacket. You're going to put me in a straitjacket. You're going to 51-50 me. All right, so... I mean, I'm sick. Saw this last night. Dave Roberts was speaking to the media and said, hearing about guys, he said he's noticed a different edge with the Dodgers this October. Hearing about guys not caring who we play. They've got to beat us. We have a lot to prove. A lot of people have doubted us. So I think our guys have kind of embraced that.
Yeah.
From the first minute of the first game of the 2024 season, your team has been the favorites to win the World Series. Even when you hit a little 500 skid and you had some guys go down, your team remained the odds-on favorite to win the World Series. Your team has been number one pretty much in the every dumb power ranking all season. You're not underdogs. You will never be underdogs. Never. Never.
You don't get that.
You don't get to play
Padres
that card.
Padres didn't get it last year either.
No, they did not. Yeah,
when they signed Juan Soto, or they had one traded for Juan Soto and had that powerful lineup, they didn't get to be underdogs.
No, you don't. So, I mean, hey, listen.
And I'm not trying to make the Padres out into underdogs in this series.
The Padres are underdogs.
But in this particular matchup, yes.
Yeah. You don't have the, what are they, top three in payroll. You're not an underdog.
Top one.
No, the Mets are higher.
Are they still higher?
I think they're higher.
I mean, Mets cut a lot of payroll.
It is.
Depends on how you're accounting Shohei Ohtani makes a difference.
I'm not even like trying to play devil's advocate here. I'm trying to put myself in the shoes of a Dodger fan.
Sure.
Those dirty, smelly shoes. Is that the card you want to play, the underdog card, or don't you want to
I've said it a million times.
Nobody's beaten us.
They want to be the evil empire, but they're just not evil enough. They don't know how to embrace. I saw a guy tweet the other day. I don't understand why everyone on the East Coast, all they do is call Shohei a gambling addict, and he's the best player in baseball. We should be embracing him. They don't understand that everyone hates their guy. They don't it doesn't fathom. It doesn't register with them.
There's no rivalry between the Padres and the Braves, and it's not like I wasn't thinking, oh man, this is a good team. We've been facing adversity all year. I'm looking at the two game series this week. I'm going, you're the better team. Take care of business.
Take care of business. No effing around.
Don't even let them in it. You are the better team.
They've tried that a few years, and it hasn't really worked in the playoffs, so I guess they don't blame Dave Roberts for trying something else this time around.
You cannot be. I mean, all we're asking for here is just a modicum of sanity. Just a little bit of sanity. How do you say it with a straight face? Are you trying to get under our skin? Mission accomplished.
Because I don't remember Derek Jeter and Mariano Rivera.
Bernie Williams,
no one really believed in us.
Yeah, bro, they're we kicked your ass, and that was our job.
We're the underdogs against the Indians in this series. They never approached a series like that. That's who the Dodgers would love to be.
They want to be the Yankees of the 90s. They just can't do it. It's just not in them to do. Now, they're a really, really good team. Hence why they're the favorites to win the World Series. So you can't. It's hard to be picked as the favorite and be like, "Yeah, we're gritty." I mean, they're gritty as hell.
But if Dave wants to go full troll and starts calling his team the Grit Squad, I will almost okay.
I'll lose my mind. you can't. You
but they've been the favorites
sorry.
Since spring training. By the way, they didn't get hot in September.
I said from the first minute of the first pitch.
By the way, it's not like they've played poorly in the second half of the season. You know, who's the second best record in baseball since the All-Star break?
The Dodgers.
Yeah. Behind only
the Padres. Right. So man. If you want, listen. A team that cut $92 million from their payroll and traded Juan Soto. That's an underdog story. We are the underdogs.
Viva
There's Padres. No question.
The Tigers are underdogs.
100%.
Yeah, there's a good underdog story right there. Tigers are an underdog.
It is staggering to me that you can say that with a straight face. Mark, our pal, who's a Dodger fan, says, JFC, you guys are insufferable. We're the insufferable ones? We are. Not you guys. The odds-on favorite for the World Series. And you're like, I hope we have a shot.
I would love to have one day where the Padres are the legitimate odds-on favorites going into the playoffs to win the World Series.
No question.
Big dream. Be a dream.
I mean, hey, you don't have to listen to us. You don't have to listen to us. Listen to Las Vegas. They know what they're talking about. You're the favorites to win the World Series. How do you justify?
Vegas doesn't miss.
How do you justify calling yourself an underdog and saying no one believed in us when you're the effing favorites? How is that insufferable? Isn't saying that in and of itself insufferable when you're you're picked number one to win it? You think Alabama ever went in a game as a number one and be like, yeah, us against the world? It is absurd. It's absurd. You gotta stop. It's so tired.
Mentality in sports.
It's as tired as Madres. It's as tired as no rings. It's just insane. You have three MVPs batting 1, 2, and 3. You have a bullpen. Every guy in your bullpen throws 100 miles an hour. You have Jack Flaherty, who has been fantastic. You spent $300 million on your Game 2 starter. How are you an underdog? Guys, just let's have a fun series, and let's try to beat the crap out of each other, but let's not be delusional. Let's not be delusional. Let's sound like real smart baseball fans. How about that?
All right, story number two. When postseason promotions...
That's insane.
...backfire. And the Astros in the crosshairs today for their postseason drink. Did you see this?
It was called
Electric Haterade, as in Josh Hader. It contains lemonade, blue curacao, tequila, Sprite, and a tahine rim with a cherry and a lime garnish, retailing for $24 at Minute Maid Park. Apparently, people who tried it said it actually wasn't that bad.
It sounds absolutely delightful and delicious, and I wanted one the minute I
sit down on the beach.
Just chug that.
Thing. Unfortunately, it didn't go well for the Astros as they were swept out of the playoffs by the aforementioned Tigers, and it came down, of course, to Josh Hader, the former Padre, called upon in the eighth inning to try to keep it a 2-2 game after a wild pitch had just scored the tying run, bases loaded, and he gives up the bases-clearing double to Andy Ibañez as the Tigers go on and beat the Astros 5-2. How about the Detroit Tigers moving on to the ALDS and going into Houston and Minute Maid Park and spilling all their electric Haterade all over the place? I thought the doo-doo this, though, funny comments, especially from Padres fans going, Steve Tsukamoto said, only available in the ninth inning.
Oh.
I saw, they call it electric Haterade because when you have one, you'll be unavailable the next day. You guys are all so clever out there. Now, Hader did come in the eighth inning. I will say that.
Just didn't work out well for
him.
Maybe he's the smart one. He's like, I keep telling you guys, I can't pitch in the eighth. I'm not going to.
Cost me my parlay.
They shouldn't have asked him to do everything. That's, he doesn't do everything.
You guys want me to do everything. Man, tough look, dude.
Are we in a playoff race? Yeah, you're actually in the playoffs.
Josh, you're in inning eight of a wild card game that we desperately need to win. So, yeah.
We want me to do everything.
Sucks, dude.
That's Don't and Do This for a Thursday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, we don't do this all the time, but it is a celebration Thursday. The Padres are moving on in the playoffs, and if you want to call in, you were at the game last night, you just want to talk some Padres baseball, our phone lines are open, 833-288-0973. Padres fans, how you feeling going into the series against the Dodgers this weekend? Are you nervous with Joe Musgrove potentially unavailable for the series? Give us a call, 833-288-0973. We'll do that when we come back on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Before we hit the phones, we have a buddy that's a Dodger fan, and he texted Paulie. And he said, just so you know, 22 of 27 experts on ESPN picked the Padres over the Dodgers. And my retort to that is, since when does anybody at ESPN even follow baseball? even in the slightest. Literally.
They were right about the Padres over the Dodgers. 27 out of 27.
What do you mean?
Picked the Padres over the... I mean, the Braves.
The Braves.
Yeah, they picked 27 out of 27, picked the Padres over the Braves.
I just wrote them back. I said, well, clearly, then you guys must be the underdogs.
How is a one seed?
Might as well show up.
Again, am I losing my mind? How does a one seed with the best record in baseball consider themselves an underdog?
You know what? Here's the trick.
People
you
like sexy
if
picks.
If you want to be the underdog, I will allow it.
Shohei can't play.
But the first two games have to be at Petco Park.
Fine, deal. I'll give you the underdog.
Wait. Why do they have home field advantage?
Give up home field advantage.
An underdog with home field advantage. I'm shocked.
Claim the mantle of underdog.
This is the dumbest argument in the history of dumb arguments.
Don't forget, we've got a round table.
I think it's a bit. I feel like I'm in the Truman Show, and they're like, ha-ha, got him. You know what I mean? So,
Full phone lines here when Padres fans want to talk about their team. So we're going to get to that in just a second. Don't forget, we got the round table. 10 o'clock this morning. Again, it's commercial-free. Presented by San Diego Roundtable Pizza for takeout or delivery. Go to roundtablepizza.com. Roundtable. It is pizza royalty. We will take your phone calls and talk Padres celebration on to the NLDS right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. All right, this could go well. This sometimes doesn't go well. We'll find out momentarily. I'm just going to start
I guess it is what we make it.
Randomly taking callers as we do. I'll start at the top of the board. Is this Lance?
Hi, this is Lance.
This is Lance.
Hi, Lance.
Lance, you're on the air. Welcome to Ben and Woods this morning on 97.3 The Fan. You're first up.
Yeah, I've never called in a radio station. My first time.
All right, welcome in. Broke your cherry. Congratulations.
It's just like talking normally.
It's like talking to your buddies.
You know, more people are listening.
No, 100%. I'm born and raised San Diego. Grew up, went to Torrey Pines High School.
Go Falcons.
You know, I have never, so it's been a really long drought for the Padres ever doing something like really good. I know they went to the playoffs a couple of years ago, but. You know, like, I've just never seen the stadium so electric before.
Yeah.
And I've gone through Chargers and Padres, and it's been absolutely kind of depressing inside this city, you know, to see, like, all the ups and downs and watch them always give it away. But I got to say, they are playing with so much confidence. Their mindset is so good. And I've been telling people, like, mindset is so much more important than skills. Like, if you don't have a good mindset, if you don't have good leadership, if you don't have a goal to set towards, you should be wandering in the abyss. The Chargers are still doing it. The Padres seem like they found the light. And I've just never been so grateful to see them do so well.
It's a great call, dude.
Thank you for your show and everything.
Great call, man. That's and he's so right. You know, he's so right talking about the mindset and the thing. And I listened to Skip Schumacher yesterday talk about culture. And he really, on the, what is it?
I don't know.
Digging Deep.
Digging Deep.
Eric Hosmer podcast. It's the only reason I watch it because Skip was on it. But he said, culture is not sayings on the wall. You know, he goes, and you walk through there, you see sayings on the wall, you're like, yeah, great, means nothing.
Like, you sold those sayings on the wall.
I did.
Professionally.
Yeah, out of the back of my car. I did. Hope with a bald eagle. Yeah, you know the story. He said, culture is more than just sayings on the wall. He said, also, big leaguers see right through it. When you are trying to preach culture, but they don't have it. Like, it's something that you have to, it takes time to build. Clearly, Mike Schilt, AJ Preller, the leadership of this team went in there and made sure early on that there was a consistent message. Victor Rodriguez, consistent message. Ruben Niebla, consistent message. The leadership of this team has helped mold this team into what you have right now. And again, there's three or four guys on this team right now with reputations, previous reputations of being selfish players only playing for themselves. I haven't seen one shred of it this year. Not one shred.
Now, I will say, and I'm not trying to be negative here, good culture doesn't guarantee you anything. It's almost like admission into the door. The Braves have really good culture,
sure.
I would say. But you also have to execute and stay healthy, get a little lucky. To win a World Series takes a lot of things. It's really hard to win one with bad culture, though. Really, really hard. I mean, maybe impossible.
And having a very successful season sure helps. I promise you, if the 2023 Padres that we said had terrible culture and nobody was having fun, if they won 93 games, you would have saw a lot more fun.
Yeah.
Like, winning is fun.
Well, but again, man, you know, they could have easily fallen off the cliff at 50-50.
I was just going to say the same thing. You know, the last year's team never got it going, and, you know, fingers started not necessarily pointing. I mean, they will, you know, they'll continue to tell us it wasn't as bad as people made it out to be, and I understand that there's some truth to that, but they certainly weren't together like this year's team was. And they had their same struggles. They were hovering around 500. Why did it go so badly last year and so well this year? This year's team clearly never let it get to them, always stuck together every single moment of this season. It was just plainly obvious to anyone watching this Padres team that they've been together from the very start.
No doubt, man. Jackson Merrill is a huge part of that. Luis Arraez, huge parts of that. David Peralta, Tyler Wade, those are the guys that come to mind.
Wasn't it Peralta who kind of gave the speech last night they popped the champagne corks?
It was beautiful, man.
He's a huge, huge influence on this team.
Massive. And all of those guys have come in and done things the right way this season, wanting to spare themselves a season like last year. And I just can't say enough about it. Now, again, guarantees you nothing moving forward, but it has been so incredible to watch, cover, and love in 2024.
All right, let's go. 833-288-0973 is this Cornelius.
Love that. What a name.
That's a great name. Cornelius, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. In my part of North Park, I'm known as the Commissioner of Padres Positivity.
Yes, Cornelius, the commissioner.
That's just what I do. I'm a San Diego native as well, close in age to Ben. And we did not go to high school together. But either way, what a victory. I was in the yard last night. It was exciting. But even when the chips were down and times were a little tough, the team was 500, I never stopped believing for a second. And that's why I want to say to any Padre fans listening, when you're walking around town, and we all know these people, or we'll see them, and they're wearing that filthy blue hat, make sure you remind them that we're going to beat L.A.
I like it. I like it. Confidence.
Cornelius, love it. Thank you.
I love that name, Cornelius.
I do.
I really feel
like you should be panning for gold. Like
Cornelius.
With a name like Cornelius, but outstanding. I had a thought. As you mentioned, those blue hats. And I don't know if this is possible, but I thought about it this morning. I mean, we all have blue clothes, right, in our closet, T-shirts and stuff. Can we just ban the color blue for the next week in San Diego? Ew. Just keep in mind, when you're getting dressed and you pull something out, don't let it be blue. I mean, try to avoid it for the next few days. I get it. Most of my dress shirts are that like light blue color. I mean, it's almost impossible to avoid all blue. But let's, like, that darker, like deeper blue color, stay away from that for the next few days.
Yeah, I'm out on it.
Yeah. Ban the blue.
Well, I think police officers wouldn't like that.
Well, that's
much.
It's totally a different sort of blue.
Just saying, if you want to start making
back the blue while banning the blue. How's that? Is that cover it for you?
That's fine.
Yeah, of course. Those that protect and serve, we are big fans of you. Can we get? I mean, our police officers, do they wear blue in San Diego?
It's like navy blue.
Yeah, really, really dark blue. That's okay. That's a different kind of blue. You know what kind of blue I'm talking about? They have a whole name for it.
Yeah.
I forget what it is.
Royal blue.
Yeah, but they're that color scheme. It's like
Dodger blue.
Yeah, the Dodger blue. Just anything that looks that close to Dodger blue. Just don't say it. Don't wear it.
Okay.
Let's go to Joseph on our board here. 833-288-0973. Good morning, Joseph.
Hello.
Joe? Anyone?
Joseph, I hear you.
Sometimes I'm not right on the names.
Hi, I'm just
going on the board and caller ID here.
Oh, your caller ID?
Yeah.
Are you talking to me?
Yeah, we are.
Oh, yeah, because nobody ever answered the phone. I didn't think I was.
Yeah, we don't have anyone to answer the phone.
You're live on the radio.
If you hear us talking to you, then you are on the air.
All right, I didn't know it came across as Joseph either. Hey, so the first caller, the mentality. I think the Dodgers are trying. So we have the right mentality. They're trying to change their narrative as being the underdog because what they've been doing in the past doesn't work. So they're Dave has tried to change the narrative for them and see if it gives them an advantage. They're desperate. They're scared.
Yeah, I mean it's a good call. It's certainly a choice, but I just logically, when you have the best record of 30 teams and you're a one seed and you didn't have to play the 3-game series, and again you got the three guys at the top and all the guys in the bullpen, and you know your number two starter's worth 10 times, 20 times what the Tigers' full payroll is. It's hard for me to go, yeah. Yeah, man, you guys are scrappy underdogs. It's really, really tough. But you know, if that's the psychological warfare you want to employ, you know, good luck to you. But I would personally go the other way. I would go we're the LA Dodgers. Nobody beats us. Look what we have. Look around the room. Look at Shohei. Look what he's done this year. You know, look at Freddie Freeman, what he's done. Look at Teoscar Hernandez. Look at Will Smith. Look at Max Muncy with some of the biggest hits in postseason history. Look at all these guys. Believe in yourselves, not, man, we'll be lucky to win these games against a team that just had to battle for two nights against Atlanta.
I think one of the biggest storylines going forward is Shohei in the playoffs. We've never seen it.
I mean, look, I think he's going to be locked in because look at the friggin' year he's had. It's like he knows what pitch is coming. I've never seen a player so locked in. Maybe in my Barry Bonds, but other than Barry Bonds, I don't know that I've ever seen a player that locked in.
It's funny, though, because we've seen plenty of, role players become stars in the postseason. We've seen stars be stars, and sometimes you see stars really not rise to the moment.
Well,
in
we
the
saw
playoffs.
It last year for the Dodgers and Mookie and Freddie with one hit combined and 21 ABs. That's not going to get it done, you know. But don't tell me that specter isn't looming. You know, certainly when you dig in the box for that first AB, of course it is. You're going to be facing Dylan Cease, but it sure makes it a lot easier when a guy with how many homers? 59, 58, whatever he's got.
I think 54
and 58 bags or whatever. Dylan Cease is going to be careful with Shohei Ohtani because you don't want to blink and be down 1-0. But if you walk him, he steals second. Now Mookie Betts is up. Like, on no planet is a team that is built like that an underdog. On no planet. I mean, the planet of delusion. But other than that, man, it's crazy.
At the very most, you could say it's an evenly matched series between the two teams.
I don't even know that you could say that.
Yeah, payroll-wise, Dodgers are way in a different class than the Padres now, especially after the offseason moves by both teams.
Right.
You know, overall, you know, Padres won 93 games. Dodgers won 96 games. Mm-hmm. Statistically, not that significant over the course of the season. I have no problem calling this an equal matchup going into the series. I do have a problem with the Dodgers trying to say they're underdogs in the series.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, look, at the end of the day, it should be a really good series between two really good teams. And we can leave it at that. Two heavyweight teams that are poised to make a run and have a lot of pieces to do it. But, yeah, again, it's pretty delusional talk. Now, you can, if you're a fan of the Dodgers, you can think, yeah, man, Padres are really on a roll. And, yeah, I mean, you have to also.
You can think the Padres are dangerous.
Oh, 100%.
They
are
dangerous.
You'd be stupid not to.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Let's get.
You'd be stupid not to think the Dodgers are dangerous.
Right, yeah, 100%. I mean, if anybody's walking around confident that you're going to go in there and beat them three in a row, I think that's a little delusional as well.
That's going a little bit too far.
I expect this thing to go five games.
Got,
I really do.
You got Dean in North Carolina here sneaking
Dino.
In before the top of the hour. Hey, Dane.
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for getting to me. Miss talking to you.
You too, buddy.
You know, going off of what the first caller said, I just wanted to bring back up the atmosphere in Petco Park and, you know, how proud that makes me as a fan, you know, just seeing that from afar, the atmosphere in the stadium. And, you know, that I think that is unmatched in baseball. I know the Phillies got a, you know, they got a great thing going in their yard during the playoffs. But right now, from what I'm seeing, Petco Park is second to none with the environment and what's been going on there during the playoffs.
So no doubt.
That makes me incredibly proud to see. I hate that I'm not there for it, but you know, I'm at peace with it and loving watching it from afar. And really the moment from last night that stuck out with me, and I watched the replay on endless loop this morning, was the pop from the crowd when Merrill uncorked that triple, just the immediate sound of the crowd from, you know, as soon as the ball hit the bat was that just gave me chills.
It was unreal.
Over and over. So,
it was unreal live, man. It was just
so cool to
you
see,
just
man.
Started buzzing, dude. Just buzzing.
I agree with Dean. I mean, in some ways, the atmosphere is really what you're going for. I mean, winning a World Series is great, but if you want a World Series like the Dodgers did in front of no fans and there's no atmosphere.
Yeah.
It's not really what you're going for. You're going for this. The Padres have already have what you really want.
Sure.
Now, the World Series is obviously
a different level,
but it's almost the cherry on top at some point. You've created what I always wanted to have as a sports fan in San Diego,
and
very few times in my life ever really felt. A true community, a true team that was backed by its hometown, and everyone's into it, and they're watching the games, and they're cheering, and they're on their feet the whole time. It's awesome. It's awesome. All right, we'll come back. Eno Saris is going to join us. Smart Baseball in our 8 o'clock hour. Much more to get to. More celebration, locker room sound. Paulie was in there last night. Next on The Fan.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.